Watt Buffalo Healthy Living magazine. With over 200,000 print readers and over 35,000 digital readers, Buffalo Healthy Living is Western New York's largest free healthy living magazine for people of all ages. Focusing on health, fitness, nutrition, environment, business, and community, Buffalo Healthy Living is dedicated to providing well-written and timely articles and healthy tips to support a healthy lifestyle. Embracing the highest standards of corporate purpose, accountability, and transparency, Buffalo Healthy Living offers a positive social and environmental impact. Proud to be Western New York's premier free magazine for people of all ages, Buffalo Healthy Living writes about the topics that matter most to its readers. Find it at every area Wegmans and Tops, along with thousands of other locations throughout all 8 counties of Western New York. Interested in advertising? Contact 716-204-8881. Visit BuffaloHealthyLiving.com or follow on Facebook and Twitter. Enjoy a healthier life with Buffalo Healthy Living magazine.
Welcome to Western New York at Work with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis. Join in on the conversation about sports, jobs, economic development, and the people who make it all happen. If you're interested in growing your business, understanding the latest trends in and around Western New York, then join the discussion at 803-1520. Now, here's Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis.
Good morning, Buffalo. Welcome to Western New York at Work, your business-friendly conversation live here at ESPN 1520 AM with Dale Martin and my wonderful co-host, Lauren Lewis. Lauren, good morning.
Good morning, Dale. How are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself this morning?
I'm good. It's gorgeous out.
It's a beautiful fall.
I was driving through Delaware Park on the way here to get on the 198 from Elmwood, and it was just absolutely beautiful. The leaves are finally changing. The sun's shining. I'm like, what is this big glowing thing out in the sky today? We haven't seen the sun in a while.
It has been a while. It's been gloomy this week.
Oh, but today's gorgeous.
But today is certainly a picture-perfect day for photographers.
It is, yeah. Good day for the Bills game.
That's
happy
right.
For the people who are out at the game today. They'll have a beautiful day out there. Hopefully a Bills win.
Hopefully,
we'll see.
We'll see.
What do you think, Louie?
I don't know. Sorry. I always feel like I'm the black cloud when we talk about the Bills.
You are.
I know, Nathan Peterman starting again today.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. The good thing, Khalil Mack, I'll say in my update, Khalil Mack might not be playing today, which is big for the Bills' offensive line, which has struggled this year, not having to deal with one of the best pass rushers in the league. That'll be a nice help.
He went to UB, Khalil Mack.
Yep. One of the best players in the NFL.
Yeah.
Came from the University of Buffalo. Pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Awesome. It's
they'll
really
have a couple,
to see that.
They'll have a couple players in the draft this year, too. Tyree Jackson, Anthony Johnson. So UB kind of on the up and up with football and basketball, too.
I love it. Yeah, they've been doing great things in sports.
Yes.
The past couple seasons.
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to have a great conversation today. We have a wonderful guest. That's twice in one sentence.
You love saying wonderful.
Yes. Well, you know what? It's fitting. Would you like to introduce our guest?
I think you should do it, Dale.
Okay. Well, Buffalo, I think it's only fitting that we talk about the growth and the renaissance of Western New York. And it started with one particular individual who was really at the forefront of our renaissance. And that individual is Mr. Tom D. He's the former president of the Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation. Tom, welcome to today's show.
Well, thank you very much.
I've been wanting to get you in the studio with us for a while, so I'm so excited to finally have you here.
Well, it's great to be here, and I just want to jump on the bandwagon with UB as a UB graduate.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really thrilled. It's my school. I received my bachelor's and my EMBA there, so I'm pretty happy and stoked whenever I hear UB doing great things, and it was good to hear that.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Oh,
it's
my God, it's
great.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And Tom D, I think we finally got you on the show because you're now retired.
Retired and loving it.
I know. You had a wonderful trip recently, too.
Yeah, it was nice. You know, so we relaxed, had a good summer, the summer weather. So it was interesting, too, as you talked about the sun, and it's so true that we do focus on the weather here. But, you know, I always, whenever I made my presentations, always tried to put a good spin on the weather and just say that, you know, no matter what the weather is in Buffalo, it's never that bad.
It's not.
And I could always say that as an avid workout enthusiast and a runner, that I could run outside every single day of the year. All I have to do is change a layer of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So we do focus a lot on the weather, and my God, it is wonderful to see the sun today, but I think as Buffalonians, we need to always focus on the fact that it's not as bad as a lot of places.
No, and I agree with that. I'll always take our snow and our weather over hurricanes and tornadoes, fires, like the
exactly.
snow a few
exactly.
days
exactly.
It's really only a few days over the winter where it's really bad driving, yeah, and that's
we're getting
like
the skis
the
waxed
days.
And sharpened this weekend.
Oh, I need to get mine
we're
tuned up
ready.
Too.
and there's something to do all year round. I mean, we literally have four seasons. I'm going to go on and say we have four seasons, and there's something to do in each one of those seasons.
Yeah,
so I think we have a lot of rich resources available.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely. I love our four seasons. They're beautiful, and you're right. Like all the different the parks around town, Canale Side.
I think that's you know that was part of our seasons. Focus too was to focus on four seasons. It was part of our guiding principles actually, and you know when you think of what a wonderful job they do in Ellicottville, which is mm-hmm. 45 you know minutes to an hour away, and from a ski standpoint and from a great town that people really embrace the winter. It's a great model down there what they've done at Holiday Valley and Holly Mountain, the town itself. So it's really good. It was a good model for us. Then at Canale Side, we said, well, what can we do to mirror some of that? And it came out to be an ice skating rink. And we have the largest ice skating rink in New York State, 2.5 times the size of any professional rink. And it is so much fun. And anybody can do it, because if you can't ice skate, you can get on the ice bikes. And if you don't want to get on an ice bike, you can curl. So people go down there, they've started curling leagues. And I love that, too, because we have these great photos of what it's like in the winter. And, yeah, if you want to be on the ice, you can. If you don't, there's warming huts. There's place to, you know, get a warm or a hot drink on the sidelines and watch your family skate. And it, again, gets people outside, gets people downtown. And I think it's just wonderful to embrace the weather that we have.
It really is. And Tom, we're going to really get into this a little later in the conversation. But one project that really just came to mind, and I'm wondering, what are we going to do about this? And maybe you have some insight, which is the Skyway. Is there anything that you see on the horizon or that you've heard that, you know, what we should be considering or will be considering?
Yeah, the Skyway is a tough one. You know, they're going through a round of renovations right now, which have been, you know, a little uncomfortable for everybody as the traffic patterns move and adjust. But I think they're finished with that now for this construction season. So it'll go back to normal to some degree. But the reality of the Skyway in my mind is that nothing's going to change in the near future. And the reason is there's 40,000 cars go over the Skyway every day. And you can't disrupt the traffic patterns of all those people. If they're coming from the South Towns and they're going to, whether they're going to Buffalo or Kenmore, Tonawanda, Niagara mm-hmm. Falls, wherever they're going, they're on a direct path along the water's edge. And now you're saying that we'd get rid of the Skyway, you know, without a good alternative. And I think that's what's missing in the conversations. If somebody put forth a good alternative, then I think we should open up and listen to it. But all I've ever heard of is tear down the Skyway without the answer. 40,000 cars. It's too many people. You know, we live for satisfying the public and what people need to do to make this a good community. While we aesthetically would like to see it gone, 40,000 cars is a lot of cars. It's a lot of people to put out of place.
That's a major disruption to not have a solution.
Exactly, exactly. So if there were a solution, you know, I probably could get behind it. But right now, I've not heard a solution.
Okay. I love the Skyway. Like, I do. I think it's beautiful to drive over, like, in the winter when you see the ice out on the lake or a beautiful summer evening, you see the sunset. I love the Skyway, and I think it's fun to drive over. And it's part of our skyline.
The biking community does a great job, Justin Booth and the community, where they close it down for a half a day or so and they take a bike ride.
Yeah.
And that's just fun. You know, if you get 1,000 people or so, they get to experience it from a different path. You know, if you're on a bike and you're up there, as Lauren says, the views up there, the vistas are magnificent. So if you could take a bike ride up and, you know, there's been lots of ideas of turning it into something more festive, and I think that's all good if we could just find an alternative for the mm-hmm. vehicular traffic.
Yeah.
And speaking of that Skyride, I mean, in West New York at work, we've participated in that event for the last couple of years. And so to have that experience where they closed down, vehicular traffic, and to have thousands of bike riders, like you just mentioned, that's an amazing an event, and I think it represents a staple that we have in this community.
Yeah, the community events like that, whether it's closing down the Skyway and biking or the slow roll, those events that we do, those things to do that really create the look and the feel for to be a community. I think that's what's really making Buffalo and making a large part of the transformation is that we're creating opportunities for people to get out and, you know, enjoy their neighbors. Buffalonians are good people. They're hearty. They like to have fun. And when we can get people together on street corners or in parks or on the skyways, it's a lot of fun.
Well, I'll tell you, speaking of the skyway, a lot of people are on the skyway now going on their way to the Bills game. And I think, which is a good segment into let's find out what's happening in the world of sports.
Game day for the Buffalo Bills. More on that in a moment. The Sabres took down the Ottawa Senators yesterday 9-2. Jason Pominville and Jeff Skinner each scored twice. It was the first time Buffalo scored nine goals since January 27th of 2009, and the last time they did it at home since January 18th of 2008. One injury to report from last night, Rasmus Dahlin injured his ankle blocking a shot, but it is not believed to be serious. The Sabres play again tonight against the New York Rangers at 7 o'clock, which can be heard right after Bills postgame on WGR. Game day at New Era Field for the Bills as they take on the Chicago Bears. Nathan Peterman will get his second start under center this season. Injury report for Buffalo, Derek Anderson, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, and Trent Murphy are all out for the Bills. As for the Bears, pass rusher Khalil Mack and receiver Allen Robinson, questionable. However, ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Mack is not likely to suit up this afternoon, while tight end Ben Braunecker and defensive tackle Bilal Nichols are out. Chicago has also placed guard Kyle Long on injured reserve. Around the NFL, the Cardinals released quarterback Sam Bradford. The Raiders continue their teardown, releasing defensive end Bruce Irvin. The Jets are optimistic that receivers Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa will be good to go against the Dolphins. Vikings receiver Stephon Diggs not expected to play against the Lions today, but they will have starting running back Dalvin Cook back on a snap count. The Chargers are expected to have running back Melvin Gordon against Seattle today, while Seahawks running back Chris Carson is a game-time decision. This update is brought to you by Bocce's Pizza. Enjoy the game with a nice slice of Bocce's. For ESPN 1520, I'm Louis DiBiase.
Welcome back to Western New York at Work with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis. And again, we have Mr. Tom D., who is the former president of the Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation. And Tom, I'm just going to go right into it. It's been quoted from Business First that you brought Canal Side to life.
Well, that's a strong statement. I appreciate that, but I could never take that kind of credit. I mean, it's certainly a team effort, and it's a very, very broad team, no question about it. I mean, Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation was formed in 2005, so that's 4 years before I was hired. And, you know, Bob Rich had the, I think it was Governor Pataki way back then, that they had the, you know, the ability to think that this could be a great thing. There were so many plans on the boards over the years as to what could be done, but nothing ever happened. So I applaud them for having the courage to get the group moving. And then, you know, people like the early chairman, you know, Jordan Levy, and, you know, he came up and he really drove hard, and Mindy Rich and Larry Quinn, and, you know, they were responsible for hiring me. And then Brian Higgins, I mean, he is certainly pivotal. He was responsible, you know, to get for me coming to the job, and he recognized my career working for Canon Design for 28 years and said, you know, let's bring somebody local to this and, you know, have a local interest that will really be passionate about what we do. So that team, along with the team that was in place in terms of the staff, and then, you know, I had some brilliant people that I worked with that came up with some great ideas. And then we had the public. We work with the public, which is an amazing thing, because you realize there's a lot of self-interest groups out there. There's a lot of stakeholders. And you have to work with the stakeholders to figure out what's the best idea and figure out how we possibly, you know, come up with good ideas that will make the majority of people happy. So while I do get a lot of the credit, I just have to say that it's probably unfairly distributed. It needs to be distributed over a much greater group of people.
And clearly, there was a winning team that was put together. What were some of the, I would say, obstacles and things that everyone had to really buy in for this type of project, a project of this magnitude?
Yeah, well, the obstacles are always, you know, the fact that you have self-interest groups, right? So as a stakeholder, everybody wants what they want for their own thing. And I think that, you know, we were once a community of where it was a zero-sum game. My group's going to win, your group's going to lose, and we're just going to fight until nothing happens. And I think part of the theory that that I tried to bring forward and our team tried to bring forward was let's instead of fight about everything and have a zero-sum game, let's try to make the pie bigger. Let's make it so everybody can win, so that if, you know, if we light up the grain elevators, which we did, and we were opposed by a vocal group, you know, supporting the environment, and we don't want to harm the environment. There's absolutely no question about that. So somehow, you know, we had to sit with them and work through and say, you know, we don't control the flow of migration or where birds go, but certainly by lighting up the grain elevator, it's not going to harm the birds. And, you know, we made a concession in terms of the hours of operation. So I think that's making the pie bigger and making people happier about what how the decisions will flow and getting a lot of input into the decision. We just didn't try to ram down the thought, this is what we're going to do. We always had public meetings. So the barriers we broke down were really in large part through communication, public meetings, getting good input from people, and also not claiming all the glory. You know, just let people, you know, who had good ideas, let them be recognized. You know, I'll always go back to Newell Nussbaumer, who had the idea of putting a restaurant in the Naval and Military Park. And that was the start of the Liberty Hound. I mean, what a brilliant idea. And that mm-hmm. came from, you know, somebody from the public who has a vested interest in making Buffalo better.
Yeah. And it's clearly, I think everyone would agree, it's now become a destination point in Western New York.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, people love to go to Canal Side, and rightfully so. We did a really good job of branding it. I think early on, too, when you talk about, you know, what are some of the obstacles, we had some groups saying it needs to be called the Commercial Slip. Some groups saying it needs to be called the Central Wharf. Some groups saying it needs to be called the Inner Harbor. And then everybody was saying something different. And then we really, you know, got together, thought about from a PR standpoint, from a marketing, from a branding standpoint, and said, let's unify all that thought under the banner of Canal Side. And now we look at Canal Side and talk about Canal Side. We get recognition from all over the world for what Canal Side represents. Mm-hmm. And all those pieces are part of Canal Side, but we're, you know, smart enough with the good guidance from some good PR and marketing people to, and part of our staff, of course, to say, let's get on board here and work on our branding. And, you know, maybe we attribute some of that back to UB as well, and says that part of our good UB education talked about branding way back when.
Go back to that education. Always go. Easy to fall back on.
Right.
It's hard, though, to think about what Canal Side was before anymore. Like, I can't remember, like,
yeah,
when you know, after the auto's torn down and, you know, as many times I drove over the Skyway, you'd see the naval ships, but that was really it.
I love to think about what it looked like before because I lived there and I am an avid runner. So I would run outside, but I'd never run there because it mm-hmm. was so barren and such a wasteland. And there was a fence around the Donovan building, the old state mm-hmm. office building. So yeah. That entire block was fenced in. Memorial Auditorium was vacant for 14 years. The Donovan office building had homeless people living in the basement.
Oh, wow.
Where Harbor Center was a surface parking lot. And then the Naval and Military Park had part of their operation over in a big gravel lot, you know, acres of, you know, 3-4 acres of gravel lot, which they used for surface parking for the Sabres games. But it was just an incredible, incredible waste of space. And I remember, too, I used to always use this in my presentations, that my first week on the job, I was in the line at Starbucks, and a lady turned around. She said, oh, you're the new waterfront guy. and my picture was in the paper, of course, that week. And I said, yes. And she said, well, good luck. She said, a friend of mine said that I hope someday they'll build a cemetery on the waterfront, so at least I'll get some use out of it. I thought that was the most incredible statement, because that was the belief in Buffalo at the time, that nothing could happen, nothing could get done. And now when we think about the transformation, we go from that, build a cemetery, to the fact that the number one thing people say to me now is, I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. Now that's a transformation.
It really is. And what type of financial impact would you estimate that Canal Side has generated for the region?
You know, that's a really good question, but that I don't have the answer for. You know, the economic generator, we're not job driven. I mean, BRG, who's our consultant, be our guest, John Dandies and his group are fabulous on site. They probably have up to 200 employees in season. Maybe, you know, 20 full-time employees that manage the site. And then we have several different businesses that are down there as well. So from an economic indicator, I've never really run those numbers. The other side of the indicators are what we've done as far as being a travel and a tourist destination. Mm-hmm. And that's also hard to count because there are so many people coming through there. But where we had nobody, where we had no activities, now we have thousands of activities, thousands of things to do. And you know, whether it's a million and a half, or 2 million people walking through that site every year. So I don't have economic impact numbers. I have feel-good numbers that when you get down there and you sit on or walk down the Central Wharf, you feel like you're in a parade. And if there's stuff going on every day, and especially in the summertime, of course. I mean, the one day we had the rubber duck down there. We had 100,000 people. So and that was probably too many people because it just caused a little bit of a traffic jam.
And that is an issue down there, is like the traffic, and especially when there's the concerts.
Which I always think is a funny question. You know, people complain about traffic. People complain that they don't know where to park. And people complain about too many people. And I'm like, yeah, well, welcome to success.
They're always going to find something to complain about.
Yeah, welcome to success.
Which I think is a good thing. It's a tribute to everything that's gone on down there and everything you can do and all the people that are going down to Canalside now. There's something for everyone down there.
And almost nobody complains about parking anymore. They did when they first started. They complained about directions. They complained about parking. But that's because they weren't used to it.
Yeah, and I think there's plenty of parking down there.
Oh my God,
I never have an issue when I head down that way.
See, that's because you're used to the city. You're used to going down there. And what I always tell people is, pretend you're going to a Sabres game. You know, there might be, you know what, 18, 19,000 people going to a Sabres game or a concert. They don't complain about the parking.
No.
They know exactly what to do. You park five blocks away and you walk.
You walk. You bundle up if it's a chilly, windy night and just
and eventually
walk. It's part
that's
of the event.
Eventually, that's what our audience figured out. Mm-hmm. And if you just park a few blocks away, I do the exact same thing myself. I'll come to a concert. I'll park down at the end of Lakefront Boulevard and Erie Street, and then I'll walk a quarter of a mile and I have no problems with traffic leaving,
or
and it's
an
easy
walk. Or you
take the
train. A lot more people are taking the train down to Canalside, too. So even you can park on Chippewa, or you can take it from UB South Campus and take it all the way down. It's great.
Another great one is biking. People are biking down there, which is fun because Buffalo's become a biking city, and I like that a lot.
It's very interesting to see the transformation of our city, to see vehicular traffic now back on Main Street, along with, you know, seeing the Metro Rail running right through the center of our city. So I just think we're making some right decisions, and I think we contribute that to having good vision and good leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And go ahead, Lauren.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was just going to say that the light rail is also now, there's work being done on Scott Street, and that the light rail will be moving down to Seymour Knox Boulevard, which is lower Main Street, of course, and opening that up to vehicular traffic as well in the future. So that just will have a continuation where you can have vehicular traffic for the length of the downtown portion, which will be an added benefit for all the people who are in retail and
for the
cars as well, just to not to be constantly rerouted, not know where you're going.
Yeah. Well, before we continue, we have to take our first and only break. So don't go anywhere. We will be back with Tom D. in just a few minutes. Hi, I'm Lauren Lewis with Staff Buffalo. Staff Buffalo is a certified woman-owned business enterprise. Staff Buffalo is a full-service professional staffing firm providing executive, direct hire, and contract solutions for employers in Buffalo, New York, and the surrounding areas. We specialize in providing our clients with the best candidates for each job, as well as personalized career management solutions to each candidate looking for new opportunities. We love to make people happy. Please check us out at staffbuffalo.com. Staff Buffalo, where Buffalo works.
Hi, I'm Clinton Hawkins, franchise owner of Pillar to Post Home Inspectors. We believe home inspections are an important step in every home ownership. Whether you're buying or selling your home, an inspection is a critical step. During your inspection, you'll learn where to find the water shutoff valves, age of your hot water tank and furnace, when the roof might need to be replaced, and so much more. So give us a call at 716-608-6829 to schedule your Pillar to Post home inspection.
Not a matter of if, but a matter of when will your next IT or computer-related problem occur. Buffalo Consulting and Technical Services provides both residential and businesses with the support you want and deserve. Whether you need one-time assistance or continuous support, they are there to help you with services that won't break the bank and is guaranteed to fit your objective and your IT requirements, be it network and systems analysis, security camera and monitoring, program customization, and a whole lot more. Contact Buffalo Consulting and Technical Services at 424-1176 or visit them on the web at www.bcats.co.
New Buffalo Insurance Agency is here to insure your future, servicing downtown Buffalo and other surrounding areas. An exclusive agency for clients with a selective taste. They want the very best. They specialize in commercial insurance for multiple industries and personal lines, professional liability, trade contractors, and extraordinary service. Your life and the assets you have are exceptional. Let's make sure you have exceptional coverage to match. New Buffalo Insurance Agency. See what they can do for you. Call 332-1570 to schedule an appointment.
Welcome back to Western New York at Work on ESPN 1520 AM. I'm Lauren Lewis, in studio with my co-host Dale Martin, and we have Tom D., the former president of Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation. I always Stone Arrows was going to mess that up. It's such a long
That's a mouthful.
Name, but it
is
a mouthful. I nailed it, right?
And you did. And, you know, I think the name should be changed to Development Corporation, the Harbor Development Corporation, because now we're focused more on the Inner Harbor and the Outer mm-hmm. Harbor. So it was based on the Erie Canal, which is where the skating is,
right?
Which is a wonderful parallel and correlation to history. But I think the name was intended to develop that, but we really have morphed into the Outer Harbor now too. So I think we should be the Harbor Development Corporation.
And so where do you see the development continuing? Where do you see the future of the city going?
Well,
here?
I think the city, I'm really optimistic. I like what's going on. There's a lot of good things that Buffalo has to offer. First off, is the people of Buffalo. You know, Buffalonians are hardy. Buffalonians are good people. It's a good mix of people. You know, it's a melting pot. You know, we all came from different heritages, and we all, I don't know, I feel like we're all have the same roots, and it makes us strong. I wish we had a better football team, but that'll come, right? And we're thrilled.
The Sabres are turning it around. 9-1 win yesterday.
That's 9-2, I think.
9-2, yeah.
Fabulous game yesterday. I watched and enjoyed that. So that's going to come.
Yeah.
So, but what I like, I like the people of Buffalo. I like the spirit. I like, you know, that you can drive anywhere in less than 20 minutes.
I used to
like that you didn't need a restaurant reservation, but now you always need a reservation, which is another sign of our success.
And there's so many great restaurants that just keep opening up in Buffalo. And
another great trend, you know, and so, you know, you just kind of Uber over there or taxi over there and use OpenTable or whatever, and mm-hmm. you can find your reservations and just work through that system, and it works out great. But so I'm excited about the people. I'm excited about the way of life. I think we owe a lot of success to the fact that we have a great college and university base. You know, there's so many schools that you know, attract the youth, and that's certainly the future of Buffalo is to get the youth here, keep the youth here, and, you know, expand that brain power. So I love the stuff they do at 43 North to bring on the entrepreneurial spirit. But the colleges and university is a big base, and I applaud that, and I'm so happy that we have that. I think second to that, as important as anything we have in Buffalo, is the medical campus. You know, I don't know the exact population right now of employees, but every day, every time I go down there, I'm just amazed at how it's growing. And I know the population was predicted at some point soon to be something like 20,000 employees. And 20,000 is a huge number. I mean, that was a number that we had working at Bethlehem Steel way back when, you know, when the steel industry was successful.
What an interesting correlation in those numbers.
Isn't it, though? Yeah. Right? And so I love the fact that the medical campus is doing what it's doing, and it's doing such great work with such great people, and the fact that it employs so many people, I think, is really something. So you have that. You have the waterfront that anchors that, you know, in terms of, it doesn't create the jobs, but what the waterfront does, it brings the fun aspect to it. I love the fact that people are starting to appreciate the water now, which I think is really important.
Buffalo, you see more and more people on the water enjoying it. There's a lot of different ways for them to enjoy it now.
Exactly, which is a big problem for some people like the boaters. Yeah. Said there's too many people out here now, which is, again, one of those problems that you love to hear. But 84% of the fresh water in North America is in the Great Lakes. 84% is in the Great Lakes. So if that's the case, you know, why aren't we known as a waterfront city, as a waterfront? You know, we need to be a waterfront destination. Mm-hmm. It's fresh water. You know, so it just shows that we're in a prime spot right now, and especially with the, you know, the global warming, the climate change, whatever is going to happen with that, I don't know how that works. But to be on a body of fresh water really works to our advantage, and I think we need to keep developing the waterfront. And then, you know, with the schools and the educational systems we have, with the medical campus, and then the other new thing is the advanced manufacturing. You know, the technology that's going on in a lot of these shops is really, really critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge for our industry, our area. That's a huge industry for us now, and it's going to create more jobs in the future, too, in the manufacturing world, which will be great.
It's really an exciting time to live and work and play in Buffalo, New York.
I love being a part of it.
Right?
Yeah,
I love
it. Mm-hmm. Gosh, we're at the end of our show. We've had such a fluid conversation. So many things we haven't touched on.
I know. And we'll have to have Tom back. Now he's in retirement. We can get Tom on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure being here. I think moving forward for Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation, you know, we have our board chairman, Robert Joy, and his the board and the staff that's there. You know, you can see Exploring More is being built right
exciting now,
and that building's coming to completion. So, you know, you see the fruits of everybody's labors, and it's really exciting to see. And there's a lot more on the drawing board. So, you know, Steve Rinaldi and the gang over there, they've got a lot of work to do, but they're doing a great job.
Well, thank you for spearheading it over the past 13 years.
Wonderful.
It's awesome. You've done a great job. So thank you, Tom.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show.
Yes. Buffalo, you've been listening to Western New York at Work with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis. Enjoy today's beautiful, sunshiny day. Enjoy the game, and we'll see you next time.
Go Bills.
Thank you for listening to Western New York at Work, sponsored in part by Lotempio PC Law Group, Complete Counsel, meeting your lifetime legal needs, Dale Martin, Liberty Cab, Accessium Group, your most trusted IT service provider, and other successful business partners.
Was not enough.